How many of you guys have had somebody say to you at a different time, well, you're the kind of person that would be a Christian, but I'm not. Well, you're the kind of person that God would pick, but maybe I'm not. And it's maybe because we've met God or we've met Jesus, and because of the change in us, they can see something that connects us with God. We're saying, well, you're the kind of person that can know God. Well, why? Because you do know God. There's something of God in your life. Therefore, people see something that is different. And for many out there, they've been rejected. They're going through pain. They're going through suffering. Many are carrying guilt. Many are carrying all kinds of things in their life that just cause despair, loss of hope. Why am I alive? What am I here for? Where am I going? And we're just going to look at three stories where Jesus touched people's lives in some way and just see what was his heart and what was his actions in those situations that demonstrated the love of God and the power of God in their lives. If you want to turn to John chapter 8, just over a few pages, I'm going to read a very well-known story. We just want to see God's heart for people here. Chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Then they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. The law of Moses says we have to stone her. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up and he said to them, "All right, stone her. But let those who have never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard what he said, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to her, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she replied. Then Jesus said to her, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Jesus was in a situation where they were trying to trap him and get him to say something so they could accuse him in some way to give him a reason to arrest him or have him crucified or whatever. But here we have a woman who was guilty, and according to the law, she should be stoned. But when she stood before Jesus at that moment, he was the only one who had the right to actually stone her. He had never sinned. And therefore, he then said to everybody else, "If you've never sinned, then you can throw the first stone." Because Jesus didn't rate sin in different categories. As far as they were concerned, she was guilty. She should be stoned because it was something in the law that said this is a bad sin and this should be dealt with in this way. But Jesus said, basically, "I don't differentiate between one sin from the other. So if you have never sinned," he didn't say if you have never committed adultery. He said, "If you have never sinned, go on, then you can throw the first stone." And as we read, one by one, they all walked away till only Jesus was left. And the heart of God, the heart of Jesus, demonstrated by Jesus on earth, was not to come and condemn, was not to come and put down. It was not to come to point out everybody's sin, to compound the problem, to make people feel worse, and to make people even feel further away from God. But the heart of Jesus, when he came, when he met people, when he interacted with people's lives, was to demonstrate the grace and the forgiveness and the love of God. He had every right to say, "Right, I'm going to stone you then." But yet he didn't condemn or look down his nose at her, but what he did was he showed compassion and love, grace and mercy. But yet in the midst of that, he was quite straight, wasn't he? He said, "Go and sin no more." He didn't just say, "Okay, you can go, get on with it and do what you like." That lady had an encounter with the mercy of God. That lady had an encounter with the grace of God. That lady had an encounter with the mercy of God. And I reckon her life probably changed from that moment onwards because she encountered the mercy and the love and the grace of God. One of the things that's been happening this week in many people's lives is they've been coming across Christians And as people have been coming across the believers, the Christians, they've been encountering the mercy of God. They've been encountering the grace of God. They've been encountering the love of God. They've been encountering the peace of God. They've been encountering the power of God. Why? Just simply because we've been out there in people's lives. Doing something that people don't expect. Nobody expected that at that moment, that Jesus would just stand there and effectively, as far as the people were concerned, let her go. Now that's God's heart for people. Not to condemn, not to pull down, not to destroy, not to compound the problem, but to lift people out of the oppression, to lift people out of the guilt, to lift people out of rejection, to lift people out of what they're in, and to say, look, this is what I want to do for you, but leave your life of sin and come and follow me. Let's look at another story in Luke chapter 19. So first of all, we encounter the love and the grace of God, or the mercy of God. Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho, verse 1, and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. And he was one of the most influential Jews in the Roman tax collecting business. And he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowds. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the road so he could watch from there. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down here, for I must be a guest in your home today. That's pretty bold, isn't it? Inviting yourself round for dinner. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. That's an interesting response as well. But the crowds were displeased. He has gone to be a guest of the notorious sinner, they grumbled. Great. What a fantastic verse. The people, the crowds were displeased and they were grumbling. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, I will give half my wealth to the poor, and if I've overcharged people in their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Must have been pretty wealthy then. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a son of Abraham. And I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and to save like him, those like him who are lost. Now here's Jesus, busy, crowds pressing around him. He's walking into the town there. People want to see what he's going to do next, what he's going to say next, what's going to happen next. But Jesus, in the middle of all that busyness, in the middle of the pressure, maybe from the people to say something that's going to upset the religious people, to do something that's going to just be another miracle. You know, I'm sure some of the people followed him just to see what was going to happen. And in that moment, Jesus pulls away from the crowd, goes over to the individual, calls him by name and picks him out. And he says, hey, I want to come to your house and I want to spend time with you. He even calls him by name. Now, we don't know whether he asked, what's that guy's name? We don't know if he had a word of knowledge or what. But he called him by name. He wanted to connect with this guy, not just as another person in the crowd. He wanted to connect with this person in a personal way. And he said, Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house and I want to spend some time with you. And Jesus is wanting to knock on the door, or he is knocking on the door of many people's lives these days. And he knows them by name and he's knocking on their door saying, hey, I want to come into your house, into your life. I want to come not just to eat with you, but I want to come and live in your life. I want to come and show you something about myself that you've never realized before. Now, Zacchaeus wanted to find out who Jesus was. He climbed the tree because he was a short man. And so there was something in him because he might have heard about Jesus. He might have even seen Jesus do things, miracles or whatever. But he was inquisitive enough that he wanted to climb the tree to see who this man was. So Jesus went around to this man's house and he said, I want to come and hang out with you, eat with you. In the process, the man was born again and his whole household was saved. He had such a change of heart at that moment that he said, I'll give back four times what I've stolen or charged people too much of. What a transformation in a few hours. What a difference that must have made to the crowd. Because one minute they're accusing Jesus of going to the house of a notorious sinner. When was the last time any of us were in the house of a notorious sinner? Maybe some of you this week. Many of us have been in houses or talking to people in their lives this week that, if you like, if we put it this way, are sinners, people that don't know God yet. So we've been in people's houses, bringing the presence of God, bringing a touch of God into people's homes and lives. Just chatting to a number of you during the week, different people saying that when you're in homes, you've prayed for people. And some people were getting healed and things were happening in people's lives. And it's great because we're taking the kingdom into somebody else's world. And God's world, if you like, is opening up in people's own personal world to show them that there is something else beyond your own world and what you know. The kingdom of God, the life of God, the love of God, the power of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. And Jesus, it's interesting how he didn't call Zacchaeus down and just do something in front of the people. He left the crowd and he said, I just want to come and be with you. That's God's heart for people. Jesus wasn't interested in just making news and getting a greater headline. What he went into the home of somebody's life, into their world, but in their world, he changed it, changed them. And we see the change. The people must have been, I mean, everybody probably wanted Zacchaeus to be their tax man after that, you know. And, because every time they went to the tax booth, he probably was giving money away now instead of taking it in. But that's God's heart again for people, personal. Prepare to take time out from maybe the pressure of everything else. Because it was more important for Jesus to bring salvation into that man's house, into his home, into his life at that moment, than it was doing something in the pressure of the moment with a lot of people. Now we can be busy in our lives, can't we? We can have a lot going on. But yet at the same time, there's moments where God wants us to put our lives on hold, as it were. Like Jesus put the crowd on hold and say, right, now it's time for this person or that person. Amen. Let's turn to Mark chapter 5. So first of all, we see that that lady encountered the mercy, the love, the grace, the forgiveness of Jesus. We see that Zacchaeus, although as well as being saved, encountered again the love of Jesus. He wanted to give him time. He wanted to be in his life. Jesus was inviting himself into his home in that sense. Let's look at Mark chapter 5, verse 21. When Jesus went back across the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. A leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, came and fell down before him, pleading with him to heal his little daughter. She is about to die. Please come and place your hands on her. Heal her so she can live. So Jesus went with him and the crowd thronged behind. Thronged. That's an interesting word, isn't it? Let's just say followed. And the crowd followed behind. Verse 25. And there was a woman in the crowd who had a hemorrhage for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors through the years and had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she was worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched the fringe of his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his clothing, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped and she could feel that she had been healed. Jesus realized at once the healing power had gone out of him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? His disciples said to him, look, Jesus, all of this crowd is pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and told him what she had done. And Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. You have been healed. And the story follows on, and the girl who was sick had died, and then he went, laid hands on her, and she came back to life again. But here's Jesus He's on his way to heal the synagogue ruler's daughter. And on the way, he wasn't even thinking about this woman who had been had a bleeding for 12 years. And he's on his way, and the synagogue ruler is probably pretty anxious and wants these to get there as quick as possible. But while they're on their way, this woman who could be, again, stoned because of her illness, she was an outcast in that society because of the sickness that she had. She, as well as spending all her money, was probably emotionally at the end of herself and mentally at the end of herself. Physically, she was obviously getting worse. Her whole life had fallen apart around her, but she knew that Jesus was her last opportunity, her last chance. And she just thought, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch his clothes, then I'll be healed. Wow. And so she presses through the crowd. However she did that, she pressed through the crowd, putting her life on the line at that moment. Because if they saw her, they could stop her and they could stone her according to the law. But she presses through the crowd. She just touches the hem of his garment. At that moment, power comes out of Jesus. And at that moment, she is healed. Power goes through her whole being, and not just physically, but her whole life at that moment was transformed. Suddenly, because she was healed physically, her whole life was restored. She could now become part of society again. She would be made acceptable, not just to God, but to society again. Emotionally, she would have been healed. Her whole life was being transformed. But you see, Jesus wasn't even aware of this lady. But yet at that moment, in his walk towards the synagogue ruler's house, somebody tugged on his garment, power went out from him, and she was healed. He turned around, who touched me? And at that moment, all of the disciples were, well, come on, Jesus, look at the crowd. They're thronging all around you. They're pressing in around you. Whatever thronging is, you know, I don't know, it's ringing bells, or I don't know. But anyway, they were pressing in around Jesus. Well, what do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's pressing, everybody wants a piece of you. But he said, no, somebody touched me with faith. Somebody touched me expecting to get something from me. And power went out from him. And this woman, as we know, we read, came trembling before. But what is Jesus' response? He was looking for the woman. He was like, where, or the person. Who is it? Who is it? Who is it? I want to bless them. Jesus wasn't looking for the person to say, how dare you touch me? How dare you? You've just sucked all the power out of me that was supposed to be for this girl who I'm going to go and pray for now. He said, who touched me? Because something had happened. He knew somebody touched him with faith. And so this woman kneels before him. And what does he say? He says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. You've been healed. Jesus loves to sort people out physically, emotionally, mentally, not just spiritually, to make, say a prayer, to give your life to Jesus. But God loves to touch people's lives and transform them into wholeness. If I could just tug Danny Wheeler's shirt, I'll get healed. You see, is this outside of our understanding, our concept? Well, that was Jesus. Of course it would have happened. But what did Jesus say to the lady? He said, your faith, her whole life was transformed. That's pretty cool, isn't it? It's easy, isn't it? Easy. Now, most of us in the room, if you know Jesus this morning, you have the same power flowing through your life as Jesus did when he was walking on the earth. The same thing would happen to you and me if somebody came up to any one of us with the same thought, if I could just touch Paul McCulloch's jacket, I'll be healed. The same thing would happen at that moment. If I could just tug David Harrington's jumper, I'd get healed. If I could just tug Peter Hellier's shirt, I'll get healed. If I could just tug Danny Wheeler's shirt, I'll get healed. You see, is this outside of our understanding, our concept? Well, that was Jesus. Of course it would have happened. But what did Jesus say to the lady? He said, your faith has made you well. So what did the woman do? The woman came looking for the one that could meet her need. And her point of faith was, if I just touch his garment, I'll be healed. What did the synagogue ruler say to Jesus? Please come and lay your hand on my daughter and she will be well. Now, in the middle of that story, this woman, as far as the synagogue ruler does, interrupts. And the synagogue ruler is like, you can imagine what must have happened at that moment. His daughter's dying. This woman turns up, touches Jesus. Everybody stops and Jesus stops. Well, who touched me? You can imagine the synagogue ruler. Come on, Jesus. Come on, hurry up. Forget her. Come on. Come on, come to my house. My daughter's dying. You know, don't waste any time. Imagine. And Jesus, you know, probably just settle down, mate. Just trust me, believe, and you'll see the glory of God. He says that in one of the other Gospels to him, not that one. He says, only believe and you will see the glory of God. So they're on their way again. When he arrives, what does Jesus do? The synagogue ruler said, if you touch my, if you lay hands on my daughter, she will be healed. What did Jesus do? He went and laid hands on her and she was healed. Jesus didn't do something different. He did what came out of the mouth of the man. See, Jesus agrees with our faith. Sometimes, you know, we agree with him and his faith. But you see, in many situations, God touches people's lives at their point of faith. So somebody might come to you or me and just say, can you pray for me? I want God to heal me. Don't think, who am I? If they say, pray for me, God will heal me. Just pray for them. God will heal them. Sometimes the centurion, he said to Jesus, just say the word. Now Jesus didn't say, oh no, I need to come and be there and lay hands. He said, okay, go. He's well. Because God will line up with people's faith. See, what has this week been about? It's been a week to touch people's lives, invite people to all kinds of things, whatever's been going on this past week, that causes people to begin to believe that Jesus is alive and that he's real. And that if they come and find you or me or some other believer, or if they go to church or go to a meeting, somehow raising the level, if you like, the water level, if we put it that way, of Jesus, of awareness of who God is, then people come looking for Jesus. They come looking for an answer, and they might come looking for you or me. They might come to a building for a meeting, but they'll come with a point of faith. And if I go to that person, or if I go to that place, if I go to that meeting, if I go to there, something will happen. All God wants us to do is to be out to touch people's lives in some way that ignites some faith in them so that they begin to say, if I just do this, I will be healed. Or if I go to that person, something will happen. And you'll probably find, like Jesus did, that there's more life and power that flows out of you even when you don't realize it. Peter's shadow. Peter was walking along and people were just bringing the sick out into the street so that when his shadow passed over them, they got healed. Wow. But it's not Peter, is it? It's the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was touched, or his cloak was touched by the woman, that was the Holy Spirit that went out of him. When he spoke the word, what was released? The power of the Holy Spirit was released. When he touched the girl, laid hands on the girl in the house, it was the power of the Holy Spirit that went out of him. So wherever you and me go, it's not what do I have or what don't I have. Have I got enough or haven't I got enough? You've got enough. When you lay hands on somebody, what happens? The Holy Spirit gets released out of your life. The power of God gets released. When you speak, the Holy Spirit gets released out to touch somebody's life, to ignite something in somebody's heart. When you love somebody, serve somebody, what? The power of the Holy Spirit goes out to soften somebody's heart, to touch somebody's heart, to break down barriers or whatever. When you love somebody, when you serve somebody, when you do whatever in a moment for somebody's life, it can lift somebody's life. It can make them feel lifted. Why? Because God wants to lift people. He doesn't want to condemn and put down. He wants to lift them. And God has called us to lift people. What a great job. That's what's been happening in Southwater last weekend and in Bennett's Field and out in the Needles. I don't know how many were at the Southwater outreach, but there were probably, I don't know, well over 1,000 people that came through Bennett's Field that day. There were over 4,000, they reckon, that went through the Needles fun days on the Saturday and Sunday last weekend. That's a lot of lives, you know. And what is God wanting to do? He wants the church to lift the community. Have anybody seen the West Sussex County Times, the double page in there about various things that have been happening, Let's Go this week, from the fun days to the youth event, the car thing, and all the different things that were going on? A lot of the emphasis in the article was about fun. Now, you could read that and say, well, where's the gospel? Where, you know, it doesn't say anything about Jesus much in there, does it? Come on. But actually, when people read that out there, what are they going to do? They're going to say, man, the church, bringing life and fun, having a great time. Great. Because we're here to lift people. When we're around, people, we ought to make people feel good when we're there. People need to feel good. Let's use those words, because I know, you know, well, that's not very, we shouldn't, you know, make them feel. Of course we should. Why did people love to be with Jesus? Because he made them feel good. That's pretty good, isn't it? So we're here to bring a feel-good factor into the town. Obviously not just leave it there, but we're here to bring something good. You know the phrase, let's go, church here for good. Yeah? That's what it's about. It's not just, it's not a phrase like we're here for good, whether you like it or not. It's like we're here for good. We're here to bring life, to lift you. We're here to encourage you. Let's all stand, shall we? Just turn to somebody next to you. You're a lifter. You're not a downer. You're a lifter. Just turn to somebody. You're here to lift people out of what they're in into what God has for them. Now smile at them. I'm going to enjoy it. Okay, let's just pray. We're going to pray. God wants to heal people this morning and do things in people's lives. Whether you know God here this morning or whether you don't, God wants to lift you, wants to touch your life this morning. Father, we thank you. You're such a great God, such an awesome one. We thank you, Jesus, that you demonstrated when you're on earth your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness, that you wanted to spend time with that guy Zacchaeus and go into his home. Why? Because you wanted to spend time with him. And I thank you that you see every one of us here today as individuals. You don't just see us as a crowd, just lumped together in a room. I thank you that you know every one of us by name, that you know our history, you know where we've come from, you know our background, you know everything, you know where we're going, you know what our future is, Father. And we thank you, Jesus, that for many of us, our futures are already in your hands. We can already know that our lives are going great because our lives are in your hands. And we thank you that your plans are good. Your plans are to prosper, Father, in every way, spirit, soul, and body. Your plans for us are good. They're to bless us and for us to live in your goodness. And Father, I thank you that that is your heart and your plan for every person that is alive, for every single person on planet Earth, Father. Your purpose is good. And Father, I just pray right now for people here this morning that don't know you. Father, I thank you. Your heart is for them. Your plan and purpose is for them, to bless them, to lift them, to give them a hope and a future. I thank you, Jesus. Now, there might be a number of you here this morning and you don't know Jesus. And we just want to take a couple of minutes to give you the opportunity to just pray and respond to his invitation and to his mercy and to his love and to his goodness. We just want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Say, yes, Jesus, I want to give my life to you. I thank you for who you are and what you've done for me. That you came down to earth 2,000 years ago as God on earth, but yet you lived like a human. You lived as a man and showed how, as a man, with the Holy Spirit, with the power of God in you, you can know God and have a relationship with God. And that's why Jesus came to earth, because if he just did it from heaven, it'd be unattainable. But Jesus came to earth and lived as a man, fully man, to show that for us as people, as humans, that we can live on earth fully human, but yet we can know God and have a relationship with him. We just want to give you an opportunity. You don't necessarily have to have your eyes closed or anything, but if you want to make a response, just want to say yes to Jesus, I just want to ask you to raise your hand where you are, and I'd love to pray with you. And we'd all love to just pray together, you know, with you. If there's anybody this morning, you want to start that relationship, say yes to Jesus and make that first step in knowing. If you'd just like to raise one of your hands, just so I can see where you are, and we'd just love to pray for you. Is there anybody here this morning? You've never given your life to him. You say, yes, Jesus, I want to, thank you, give my life to him. Is there anybody else this morning? Thank you. Anybody else? Just take a couple of minutes. Anybody else? You want to say yes to Jesus this morning and begin an awesome relationship with him, an awesome life that lies before you with him. Thank you, Jesus. Those two people who just put their hands up, I want to ask you to do something really bold. Can you just quickly come down the front? That'd be great. Somebody can come with you, friend or whatever. How you doing? You all right? Cool. That's great. How you doing?
How are you?
What's your name?
Richard.
Richard. Good to meet you, mate. All right? Great. How you doing? Gemma?
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, let's pray, shall we?
Yeah.
We're going to pray together, and then we're going to pray for you. Is that all right? Just ask God to really touch your life in a powerful way. Okay? Let's all pray together. What we're going to do, we're just going to pray, and I'm just going to say a prayer, but you can put it in your own words, okay, if you don't want to say exactly the words I'm saying, but it's really from your heart to God now. Okay? Let's just close our eyes, shall we? Thank you, Jesus, that you love me. Thank you that you're so good. Lord Jesus, I just come to you right now. I want to give my life to you this morning. I want to put my life into your hands. First of all, Jesus, I ask you just to forgive me for all the things I've done, everything that separated me from you. And I ask you to forgive me right now. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that you want to put your life in me. And so I want to give my life to you right now. And Jesus, I ask you that you would come and live in me. That you'd be Lord of my life. I want to follow you for the rest of my days. I want to know you more and more every day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just pray for these guys. Father, we thank you right now that you just touch them by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You just come upon them, filling them right now with your life and with your power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just pray for both these two that they would just come to know you in such a real way, such a close way, that their lives would be really transformed from today onwards, because when you come into our lives, man, things change because you're so good and you're God. So, Father, we just pray for these two that they would walk with you for the rest of their lives, that they would be just full of your Holy Spirit, overflowing with your life. I thank you that you just deal with anything in their lives that you need to deal with and sort out and just set them free from. Father, I thank you for such a hope that you place in them, that they won't be able to keep quiet about you. They'll just find that they easily just talk about you, that their lives beam of your goodness and your life and your love. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Bless you, mate. What we'll do, there should be some guys who chat with you afterwards, okay, and just meet up and pray with you, okay? Excellent. Let's really celebrate with these guys. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's good, isn't it? So there'll be a couple of the They'll be wearing orange badges. They'll just love to chat with you after, just pray with you, give you some information, and just help you just to really connect with God this morning. Excellent. God's good, isn't he? Yes. Just close your eyes a minute. God wants to heal some people this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we're just going to not go all serious and everything, but some of you have had ongoing things, symptoms in your body in different ways that you've just been living with. And it's like God just wants you to reach out, in effect, and just kind of touch the hem of Jesus' garment this morning. And he wants, just as we do that in a moment, he's just going to touch you with his power and just bring freedom into your body in different ways. And some of you, you might find, yeah, I just know if I raise my hands now, God's going to heal me. Some of you, you might need to, if somebody lays hands on me and that's going to help me to receive, great. Okay? But whatever your point of faith is, it's like Jesus wants to touch your life at that point of faith that you're at this morning. There's a number of you with back problems, back issues. Somebody's got a spine problem and it's even slightly bent. And you've been told that it can't be straightened up. Well, God loves it when things are diagnosed like that, because he said, well, I'm going to prove that one wrong then, because God loves to do the impossible, doesn't he? And already that person, wherever you are, you can feel heat going down your spine at the moment. And God's just touching you already. If that's you, just raise your hands, because God's touching you. Raise both your hands if that's you with the problem in the spine, because God's just healing you right now. If you've got a back problem, back with muscles and disc things, just raise your hands right now. Raise your hands if that's you with back issues. God's just touching your body right now. If you want somebody to lay hands on you that's around you, then turn to them and say, can you just lay hands on me to help me to just connect with God? If you're fine at just raising your hands, then just raise your hands. And God just touches your back right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else, you've got a liver complaint. And you've had just pain and stuff around your liver area. Again, just raise your hands in the air. God's touching your body right now. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else, you've had an issue in your bowels. And you've had a lot of irritation there. And God's touching you again. You can feel a heat in your bowels right now. God's touching your body. Thank you, Father. Somebody else, you've had a problem with your kneecap. And you cracked it at some point years back. And it's always caused you issues and problems. And God's healing you right now. He's doing something in your kneecap to deal with the twinges and the pains and the clicking that has been going on there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you're touching people right now around the room here. If you believe that as you raise your hands this morning, as if to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, he's going to touch you. Just raise your hands now if you need healing. Thank you, Jesus. If you're not at that point, if you're not like, well, if I just raise my hands, if you're like, I just want somebody to lay hands on me, just turn to somebody next to you and say, can you just lay hands on me right now and agree with me that as you pray for me, God's going to touch my body. Just be bold. If that's what is in your heart, turn to somebody. Don't be shy. Just put somebody else on the spot. It's great to do that. Just turn to somebody else if you want them to lay hands on you. With them. Rebuke whatever the symptoms are and just speak healing to their body right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you touch people's lives and bodies right now. Just speak to eyes to be healed. Eyes with 20/20 vision right now. We take authority over short-sightedness. Get out of people's eyes. Long-sightedness now. Go in Jesus' name. I speak 20/20 vision into people's eyes. I speak to those ear problems, those noises in the ear to go right now. We speak to the ear to be formed and reformed, to be healed in Jesus' name. I speak to the different things in the neck that go down people's necks, the muscles in there and the joints in there to be healed, to be free right now in Jesus' name. And speak to that spine to be from disformity to form right now in that straightness that God originally created you to have. I just speak healing in your body right now. That liver, be healed right now. Kidneys, be whole in Jesus' name. We speak to bones to be nourished in the right way. Where there's malnutrition, I believe somebody has a malnutrition in your bones in some way. And we speak life and health right into your bones now in Jesus' name. We speak to blood disorders. We break off that cycle of blood disorder right now in people's blood. We speak health and life right now. There's a, in some person here, you've got a low kind of salt level in your blood. And God's just injecting, if you like, by the Holy Spirit, that saltiness into your blood to keep your blood healthy and at the right levels. You're being healed right now. We thank you, Jesus. It's like there's an acceleration, if you like, of your blood around your body right now. Just as there's an acceleration of his healing, your body's going to be nourished in the right way from now on. You're not going to need to take added tablet things to put that salt in your body and everything. You've got to find your blood now has that salt level that provides your body with the right ingredients, the right temperament in your blood. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Somebody else, you've had a problem in your right foot with a bone that you broke years ago, and it's caused you problem. It clicks quite often, and sometimes it causes you quite a bit of discomfort, and God's healing you right now. So you just need to press down on your foot, stamp on it a little bit, check it out. Thank you, Father, that you're healing and touching lives this morning. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, just wherever you are, just thank him for what he's doing. Thank him that effectively, as you're touching the hem of his garment right now, you're being healed. You're receiving from him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name, Father. Praise your name. Now, if you know God's touched your body in some way, just raise one of your hands so we can see. Okay, there's a whole number of people. Just shout out what you know has just happened. Right, do they feel different? Right. Great. John, what's happening with you? John Hutch? You're back. Is he feeling better? Is the pain gone or what? Yeah. Great. In the middle there, yeah. Did you have your hand raised? Yeah, what's happening with you? Low back pain's gone, is it? Praise God. Anybody else over here? Yeah, shout out. Sorry? Healing of what? Fits. Praise God, okay. Right, your back pain's gone. Okay, anybody else? Yeah. The pain's gone. Praise God. Other people in the middle? Yeah, Fiona. Your blood, so you need to go get it tested, eh? Yeah, that's cool. Other people, a few others had their hands up. Anybody else? Anybody else know something's happening in your body? Yeah. No pain in your lower back. Praise God. You know, sometimes when people get sick, they say, oh, my lower back, it's gone. And you're like, where's it gone? But it's like, no, the pain's gone, you know, whatever. Let's just thank the Lord, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, just quickly sit down, turn aside.